Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstances right now, God loves you, and you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. Let's jump in.
Hey guys, we're so glad that you're here. My name is Pete Campbell, and like Pastor Marcus said, I'm the worship pastor here, and I have the privilege and opportunity of sharing the message with you today. And so last week, for those of you guys who were here, we jumped into the book of Galatians, and if you guys weren't here, we'd encourage you guys to get the Center Church app, and you can listen to it there, or you can watch the video on YouTube to kind of keep up with us as what we're going over each and every single week. And so today, we're going to dive into part two of We the Free, Life Without Limits. And last week, I talked with you guys about how each and every single one of us, we face two choices every day, whether the choice of whether we will choose life or death. And in this book of Galatians, there's a man by the name of Paul who is writing this book to a group of churches in Galatia. And it's all about fighting this whole idea of legalism. And so some of you maybe say, well, Pete, I wasn't here. I haven't heard it. So what are you talking about? What is legalism? Legalism is this idea that receiving God's grace and being accepted, it's not a free gift, even though that's what the Bible says, but it's something that is actually earned through our works, earned through what we do, what we accomplish by following a set of rules or by meeting some requirements. You understand what I'm saying? And so with that, a lot of times what we talked about last week was there's this phrase that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And in order to walk out this thing we call faith and having a relationship with God, it's really coming to grips and understanding that Jesus plus nothing is everything. You know, it's not Jesus plus me praying today. It's not Jesus plus me making sure that I don't, cuss 10 times today or whatever it might be, but it's like Jesus plus nothing is everything that you need. He's the only thing that you need. So no matter where you're at in your journey with Christ, no matter, whether if you're still, kicking the tires and trying out this thing we call having a relationship with God and you're trying to figure this out, it's coming to grips and coming to an understanding that, man, Jesus is all that we need. And as we learn to follow him, as we understand and as God gives us a desire to be more like him, it's a process. We're never going to be perfect. We're never going to, have everything figured out. But man, when we surrender to God, he's in control. And he's got everything worked out. And so here we see in this passage, in this book of Galatians, Paul and Barnabas were reaching out to the people there, and people were coming to know Jesus. They were hearing the gospel. And so Peter, one of the other disciples, hears about this, and he's like, I got to come check this out. So he goes to Galatia, and he hangs out with Paul and with Barnabas, and he sees, and he's getting to meet all of the people. He's breaking bread with them. He's having lunch. They're hanging out. They're having a good time, sharing stories, laughing, creating new memories. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, it brings us to this passage that we're going to jump in today out of chapter 2, and it's 10 verses, and so we're going to have it up on the screen, and you guys can just follow along with me. It's out of the New Living Translation. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised, but afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law, and we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ. not because we have obeyed the law, for no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean that Christ led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of law I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all of its requirements so that I might live for God. Now catch this part here. He says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting, who? In the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And in verse 21, he says, I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. Hear that. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Wow. Everybody say this with me. Wow. That was awkward. Okay? And here's what I mean by awkward. I'm going to share with you a couple of things to see if you can relate a little bit with me, but awkward moments, you know, awkward times, awkward situations. I feel like I am a very good creator of awkward moments, and I don't intentionally try to do it. It just happens, and I find myself wondering, why did I just do that, right? For instance, you're in a crowd of people, and you see somebody who's waving, and then you wave back, and you're like, hey, I know you, and then you come to find out, you look, and they're actually trying to get attention of someone behind you, right? Have you ever had that moment? Have you ever had that moment where you went to give a fist bump with somebody and all of a sudden they're doing the flat five and you're like, this is just not going to work, right? Or the missed high five where you completely go to do it and you guys either just grace each other just a little bit. You know, if that's the situation, if you find that that happens, maybe you should retire your high five game and pick up your ball and go home and try something different, right? Maybe for some of you, I find myself doing this whenever I go to fly on a plane and I'm at the airport and I'm at the, where they're scanning the tickets so we can board. And what does the person at the ticket counter say? They're like, hey, have a nice flight. And then I always say this just out of habit. Yeah, you too. Because it's like they're going to jump on the plane with me, right? No, they're staying there. What about, I feel like, I really believe that chivalry should not be something that is dead, but it should be alive. And the fella said, yeah, right? You know, you're going through, I've done this before where I've been walking and all of a sudden I see, a lady or somebody going to the door that I'm about to enter. And so I'll sprint or I'll run and try and open it and let them in and say, hey, here you go. And they're like, well, thank you. And then as you both walk in, you walk in behind them, you're like, dang, there's another set of doors. And then you wonder, should I do it? Should I try? Well, here, let me get it again. Or, awkward, right? I'm going to share with you two moments that are real awkward for me, okay? And so if you are like, yeah, Pete, that totally, I resonate with you, or that's happened with me, why don't you let me know? Because that'll just help me feel like I'm not the only one who's done this, okay? My first one, the top two moments of just awkwardness, and I've done it a couple times. But I go to text my wife something very, very lovey, something just sweet, a little romantic. And I hit send, only to realize that I sent it to the totally wrong person. Come on. Right? Nope. All right. That's me. Awkward, right? Okay. The second one is going to a party or going to a hangout at someone's house and you're all having a good time. And it's happened to me before where I'm like, oh, man, I got to go use the restroom. Hey, where's the restroom at? Oh, it's just down the hall, blah, blah, blah. And so I go. And all I do is, I'm being honest with you, okay? I go, I went in there to do number one, right? To take care of some business. Just do number one. Make it quick, easy, in and out, bam, right? And I go to flush the toilet. And what happens? Instead of going down, it starts going Australian and it starts flushing backwards, right? And you're like, this isn't how it's supposed to happen. Sometimes I even looked at the toilet and I'm like, man, I feel like you betrayed me. I trusted you. I was just going to make this quick and now you're causing me problems. Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so then, because I'm stuck in a predicament, well, I got to fix this. You can't just leave this. I mean, I'm at someone's house. It's not even my own. And so you go and you look around. You're like, no, there's no plunger here. There's no plunger over there. And you're trying to figure out, man, what am I supposed to do? And you're like, okay, do I just walk out and make sure, like, nobody sees me? And then the next person who comes in, they're like, oh, what in the world? Or do I try and just solve the problem? So then you go and find whoever's house it is, and you say, hey, I went to use your restroom, but, like, the toilet's kind of backed up. Do you guys have a plunger? And, of course, they're like, oh, yeah, I've got a plunger. And then they look at you like you were the culprit who really did it. Right? Awkward moments. You know, I really feel like looking at this text today, at what we've seen here from what Paul is communicating in the book of Galatians, I feel like that this is what this passage is like. It's very awkward. You know, you've got what it says here in the scriptures, Jews and Gentiles, okay? So for instance, let's break it down a little bit more to what you guys would probably understand a little bit better. Everybody know the National Football League, right? Okay? So for me, just being personal, being honest, I'm a huge Philadelphia Eagles fan, okay? Philadelphia Eagles fans do not hang out with Dallas Cowgirl fans, okay? That's what I'm just saying, right? So for instance, you know, to even bring it a little bit closer to home, since now I'm not on the East Coast anymore, I'm more on the West Coast because the West Coast is the best coast, right? Okay. We're talking being a San Diego Chargers fan or being a Oakland Raiders fan or Las Vegas Raiders, right? Okay. Or LA Chargers, something, whatever it is. Yeah, right? It just, yeah, some of you are like, I'm out, peace, right? It just doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't seem like it complies. Like, this isn't natural. This is not going to happen. You know, having Jews and Gentiles together, like, that's just not going to work. These two people are so big-headed and stubborn, they can't get along. And that's what's going on here. You've got this awkward moment, this awkward situation where Peter goes to see what Paul and Barnabas are doing, and lives are being changed. All of these, you know, these Raiders fans are being changed, and they're coming to hear the gospel and all this different stuff. And then what happens? Some of the Chargers fans start coming in, and they're like, what is going on? This isn't how it works. And Peter's like, yeah, I'm a Chargers guy now, right? Awkward situation. You know, this moment, I feel like it's almost kind of like even for you know, going back to some of our middle school days, junior higher days, when you go into the lunchroom and you're going out to eat and you get your food and then you walk out and you're like, where am I supposed to sit? I can't sit with those people because I feel like they're going to judge me, or I can't sit over there because someone else is going to have an opinion and they're going to be like, why don't you sit with me today? That battle going on. See, Paul was willing for this situation that he found himself in, watching Peter, watching what was happening. He was willing for the situation to be awkward. Why? Because, you know, we're talking about living our life without limits, being free. Living your life without limits will sometimes require someone to speak up so that we can choose life and not death. You know, for a lot of us, we don't do ourselves any favors when we live our life without accountability. What do you mean by accountability, Pete? I'm talking about having someone who is a friend, someone that you can trust, someone that will tell you the truth even if you don't want to hear it, someone who will tell you something because they want to keep you out of trouble, or they want to steer you out of harm's way, or, you know, just even being real practical and real personal about it. It's like, hey, that outfit you're wearing, that is just not going to fly. Do not walk out of the house. Or you go out to eat with somebody and you've got a friend who keeps you accountable, and they're like, hey, bro, you got something right there. People like that, those are godsends. They are your best friends. Recruit them like you possibly can, because I've been around people who they let you have stuff like that. Just, they're like, oh, that's so funny. No, it's not, right? See, Paul and Peter, they had a friendship. They spent some time together. Paul, he stayed at Peter's house. You know, it says even in the Bible where Peter gave Paul a tour of Jerusalem after he gave his life to Jesus, and he showed him around. Who have you allowed to speak into your life? Who have you allowed inside your circle to love you, to speak the truth, in love. To call you out maybe when something isn't exactly matching up. See, choosing freedom means that you don't have to do life alone. Because legalism and falling into that trap, into that mindset, will cause you to live on the other side of the spectrum where you're almost like the Lone Ranger without a Tonto. Always finding yourself struggling because you're doing it all by yourself and you're trying to accomplish, you're trying to do this and to do that, to make things work, when in reality it doesn't. And so as we look at this passage, you know, where Paul is telling us this story, you know, I can imagine Peter walking in and he spent time with, you know, the Raiders fans. He spent time with them. He's gone over to their house. They've grilled out, man. They've had some good food. And all of a sudden, here comes Peter into this huge gathering where you've got Raiders and Chargers fans together. And I can imagine him walking in. He's like, okay, I'm going to have to go sit with the Chargers guys because I got to represent. That's home team, right? And then all of a sudden, a Raider person might see him and be like, hey, Peter, dude, it's so awesome seeing you. Remember like a couple days ago when we hung out and we went fishing and we did this? What are you talking about? That type of setting. And so what does Peter do? He goes over and he sits with the home team. He sits with the group that represents him, right? In some way, what he feels compelled to do, what he's fearful because of what they might say or what they might think. A lot of times in our own life, have you ever found it difficult to try and separate yourself from difficult things? Have you ever found it hard to separate yourself from maybe bad habits or bad mindsets, you know, thought processes, or separate yourself maybe from the wrong crowd or people who just aren't really good for you, right? You know, in our lives, man, we can, it's part of our nature, it's how we're wired. We try so hard to do things on our own. We try so hard to separate ourselves so that when we look at our life, when we try to step back and get a different perspective on our life and what we're doing and how we're living, we want it to be different. We want it to be good. You know, we want God, for a lot of us, you know, depending on where you're at in your relationship with Christ, you know, some of us, man, who have been walking in a relationship with Christ for many years, or maybe for some of us who have only been doing it for a couple weeks, right? You know, we're trying all of these different things, trying to weigh it all out, to figure out, man, how does this really work? How can I really grow? How can I be more like Jesus? Or for some of you, maybe like what we say here is you're kicking around the tires. Maybe you're just trying to figure out, is this Jesus thing really the real deal, or is it not? And you're wrestling with trying to figure out, I feel like I need to get stuff in order to really say, okay, God, here's my life. Or okay, God, yeah, I surrender, I give my life to you. No matter how hard we try on our own strength, we're never going to be able to separate ourselves from the bad. We're never going to be able to separate ourselves from the things that try to take us away from our freedom, right? No matter what we do, we can never separate ourselves. Only God can do that. Only God can take your life and my life and make us new. It doesn't matter how many New Year's resolutions you try to make on your own. It doesn't matter what kind of things you're going to change on your social media or what you're going to tell everybody on Facebook. This is how I'm doing it. No matter how hard you try on your own, you're never going to be able to change yourself. But only God can. See, Paul walks into this room where everybody's in two separate corners, right? And he's watching all of this, and he's watching Peter to see how things will play out. But after a while, he sees, and he's like, man, this is not right. I've had enough. This isn't how it's supposed to be. You know, this isn't going to fly. And so he starts to ask the question, and he points out Peter in front of everybody. Peter, why are you sitting with the Chargers fans when just 2 days ago, man, you were hanging out with all the Raiders guys? You were at their house, man. You were eating it up. why are you doing that? Why were you doing that then and not doing it now? And he calls him out. And he says, that's not how it's supposed to work. He says, Peter, don't you remember that because of Jesus, when you make Jesus everything, the opinions of others, this whole idea of having to do things to be accepted by God, that goes out the window. That goes out the window. And there's freedom in Jesus. See, the Message version out of Galatians 2, verse 19 says this. It says, I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. How many of you guys you're like, man, that's me. I've tried to do it so many times. So many times trying to keep the rules, feeling like, man, I'm working my head and I'm working my butt off trying to make sure that everything's good and everything's going to work out and what I want it to happen, how I want the outcome to be is going to actually be that way. And then you realize, man, I can't. I mess up. I fail. It happens. You know, no matter how many times maybe you try to fix your family situation or you try to get yourself out of the financial struggle that you might be in, no matter what we do on our own, it's never going to be enough. We have to place our trust in God, in Jesus. See, there's something that's to be said here because it talks about, I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. You know, we know this whole idea, this whole story about, for criminals who are tried and sentenced, for those who do heinous acts and different things that are really, really, you know, up there, what's usually the sentence? It's death, right? Capital punishment, you know, whether it's by lethal injection or different things like that. Imagine you were in the position where you have been tried and you have been found guilty and the punishment for you is death. You know, the Bible says that everyone has sinned. You know, we've all fallen short because no matter what we do apart from Christ, we can't make it on our own. And so the punishment of our sin is death. And imagine you are being prepped and you're getting ready to come face to face with your sentencing and the death, it's imminent, it's about to happen, and all of a sudden they come to your cell or whatever, your room and where you're at, where you've been just trying to get yourself ready, and all of a sudden they say, hey, somebody else took your place. Somebody else paid the penalty for you. See, that's what Paul is describing here. He's saying because of God's grace, right? We talked about it last week. Because of God's grace, man, we don't get what we deserve. And he says because of God's grace, we have the opportunity for new life, and Jesus paid the price. He took my place. He took your place. And so guess what? Now, because of that, you and I, when we choose to put our faith in Christ, when we choose to see the freedom that is found in Jesus and nothing else, we're dead to the law and we're free. We're free. See, Galatians 2, 20 in the Message says, I've been crucified with Christ. I love this part. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I am no longer driven to impress God. Why? Because Christ lives in me. The life you see me living, it's not mine, but it is lived by what? Faith in the Son of God, in Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I love what Paul says. I'm not going back to that. I'm leaving the whole idea and the mindset of having to follow the law, having to go through works and figuring and making sure I check off my boxes, saying, Jesus, it's about you. It's always been about you. Because if we're honest and we look at our own lives and what we go through, there are good days and there are bad days. there are certain days that we want to chalk it up and say, oh yeah, I did that. Man, it was awesome. All me right here. Whew, couldn't have planned it out any better. And then there are other days that go along and we look back at it and we're like, I wish I could forget that. I wish that it would just skip to tomorrow, right? I wish I could totally wipe that away from my memory because it hurts, because it wasn't what I wanted. But here's the beautiful thing about God and his love for you and for me. God will always love you the same on your good and your bad days. God will always love you the same on your good and your bad days. So whether things are going really, really rough, and there's some struggles, and you're wrestling, and you're battling, trying to figure out how to make ends meet, trying to figure out solutions to problems, God loves you as much then as when you're walking through and everything seems like sunshine in the sky. He loves you. He loves me. You know, I think about this passage and what Paul is saying here, you know, how he's talking about the freedom that is found in Jesus and how we've got to be conscious about how we act, you know. And he says all of these things, and he talks about the gospel once again, right, and saying that, man, Jesus did it all. If it wasn't for Jesus, then it would have been for nothing. And I love how he says in Galatians 2:21, he says, I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. It's almost one of those, what I kind of term what's really popular today is one of those like drop the mic moments. You know, Paul lays it all out there. He steps out and makes the situation extremely awkward, right? And then all of a sudden he says this one last thing and it's like, I'm done, right? And I love how he says, I don't treat the grace of God as meaningless. Meaning that the grace of God is not just some fly by the seat of your pants thing that just happens. But there's value to it. Just like what we said last week, man, the grace of God changes everything. You know, if you're looking for peace, if you're looking for hope, if you're looking for a new life, the grace of God brings that. Without the grace of God, none of that will happen. See, all this legalism stuff that we're talking about, this mindset of feeling like we've got to do works, feeling like that we've got to be perfect. I feel like God looks at that sometimes and he's heartbroken by that. And not even just heartbroken, I feel like sometimes he could be irritated because he's like, I promise you freedom. And it's yours. It's a gift. I'm giving it to you. You don't have to do anything for it. Just believe. Just believe. See, we're taking the free gift that God offers when legalism wants to add to it. And not even just legalism, when we feel like we need to add to it. But I'm reminding you today, you don't. So how does this, what we've read today, what we've just talked about, this whole awkward situation, this awkward moment, how does it apply to us? You know, if you want to be free, you've got to be brave. If you want to be free, you've got to be brave. You know, Paul, I imagine, looking at this situation, Paul, you know, he had to have some guts because he was going to stand up in front of Peter, which Peter, this amazing disciple, one of the closest guys that it talks about in the Gospels that was close to Jesus. He walked with him for 3 years. Dude, Peter walked on water. You know, and I love this guy, not just because I have his name, but, you think about Peter and you read his situations, like, you can never determine or you can never, like, call what was going to happen because Peter was just so like, just off the cuff, like, bam, he just did this. You know, Jesus on the night of his betrayal, what happens? He goes and he just cuts one of the soldier's ears off. And Jesus is like, hey, man, let me get your ear and put it back on. You know, Peter walked on water. Amazing. And here we have Paul, who was called by God, and he stands up to say, man, enough is enough. And he confronts one of the guys who everybody looks up to, who everybody saw as, wow, this guy is living an example, right? I want to model myself off of that. See, if you want to be free, you got to be brave. The price of freedom will always be bravery. Paul needed to stand up for what was right, and sometimes for us, in our setting, in our own place, the ways that we can be brave, the ways that we can live our life without limits, is to say, God, I surrender more of my life to you. You know, there's certain passages where it says, all of me, less of me, but more of you, God. Less of me, more of you. As you live out today, as you walk through your life today, as you make choices today, as you determine and figure out how to live your life without limits, make that your priority. Make that your mindset, your heart, desire. God, less of me, more of you. That's how you be brave. That's how you find bravery. The next one is there will always be collateral damage when there is hypocrisy. You know, if we looked at verse 13, it's not going to be on your screen, but when we were reading through it earlier, right, I told you guys last week that Paul and Barnabas, like, they went out to Galatia and they were sharing the gospel and loving people and lives were being changed. And we saw that in verse 13 that Barnabas, the guy who was there in the midst of it all, living life with Paul, loving people, seeing lives change, seeing people find freedom through Jesus, right? All of a sudden, Barnabas now won't even spend time with the people because he's watching what Peter is doing and following his example. And that could be a result for us because what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is a stage actor, someone who says they're one way and then they act another way depending on the situation. God is not big on that. You see, God wants you for you. He wants you for your heart, for who you are, to be real. And the last one is this. Getting knocked down is inevitable, but don't get comfortable there. You know, I think about Peter being on the receiving end and having Paul call him out. The easy thing would have been to just justify and say, well, you don't understand, Paul. This is why I did it. You know, have you ever had those moments where someone, or maybe you came face-to-face with truth or came face-to-face with that and something wanted to rise up within you? I know that's part of my nature, man. If I'm being confronted and someone wants to help me grow, I've had those moments where I wanted to rise up and fight it and say, no, that's not, this is the reason why I acted that way and it's okay. When in reality, it's not. Sometimes I've even been in moments in part of my life where I told myself that I was okay when I really wasn't, right? And then I found out that if you tell yourself that you're okay for a long time, you end up believing it. Maybe that might be you today. Maybe you might say, man, Pete, I found myself in the same place. But I love how Peter rose up. He got knocked down, but he didn't get comfortable. He moved on. And in the middle of that awkward moment, Peter took it, and he got up, and he went on again, and he said, Jesus, it is about you. I'm sorry that I let my fears and insecurities forget that. See, we all make mistakes, but we can all get back up again. It's going to happen. For a lot of us, when we leave this place today, it's going to happen. We're going to fall. We're going to mess up. But when we trust, when we rely that everything that we need is in Jesus, it'll be all right. See, once you become fearless, you become limitless. Don't allow your fears to keep you from living out your life of freedom. Whether it be the thoughts of what other people might think if you stand up or if you have, you know, or maybe even yourself. The things that you may be thinking about yourself or your own insecurities, your own fears that you battle within your own mind. When you become fearless, you become limitless. There's freedom that can be found in Jesus and Him alone. And Him alone. Why don't you guys bow your heads with me as we close? God, I thank you today that as you said in your word, Lord, we can live our life without limits. God, when we choose to accept your love, accept your grace, when we accept your son, Jesus, because Jesus, you are all that we need. You know, maybe today there are some of you in here that might say, you know what, Pete, I definitely find myself today in a crossroads and I've been trying to do so many things. I've been trying to do the works. I've been trying to go through the motions to make things right. But I want Jesus to be my everything. I'm tired of trying to struggle and do it all on my own. I need help. If that's you today, would you just slip up your hand? I'd love to pray with you. Amen. So God, we give ourselves to you today, understanding that God, this relationship with you, it's a process. It's not about achieving perfection, but God, it's becoming more and more like you, having your desires become our desires. So help each and every single one of us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person, or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity. Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.